It is 8:20 at the Big 550 KTRS. McGraw's off on vacation. I am Paul Harris. Happy to be filling in. Thanks for following me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. You can also email me, paul@harrisonline.com. Kelly Jackson's here with me in the studio. And on the Skype line with us now is Maria Konnikova, who's a contributing writer to The New Yorker, who has a piece this week about a three-day work week. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Who's suggesting that we go to a three-day work week, and whose boss is saying that's okay?
Well, the suggestion has actually been around for quite some time, since the beginning of the 20th century, actually. But most recently, the suggestion is coming from mogul Carlos Slim, and he's a Mexican telecom mogul. And he is actually saying that at his own company, Telmex, he will be allowing workers to go to a four-day week for now after they've reached retirement age. So he is actually trying to slowly transition to practicing what he's preaching.
You know, I have a friend who he's been on his job for a long time. He's a guy close to 60 years old. He's worked at the same place for a really long time, so much so that he has enough vacation that every year from Memorial Day to Labor Day, he takes off Monday and Friday. So he has a three-day work week and a four-day weekend for 10 or 12 weeks every summer, which sounds fantastic.
It sounds like a dream, and I would venture to guess that your company is actually probably happy with your friend's performance, because what we know from the psychology of this is that working fewer days, working less time overall, especially if you're in control of those changes and in control of the schedule, can lead to higher productivity because workers become happier and they actually start enjoying their work. And so rather than, you know, sitting in front of Facebook and clocking in at 9 and leaving at 5, although I don't really know anyone who works 9 to 5 these days.
Yeah.
But let's assume they do. They're wasting so much time, and a lot of times they feel frustrated. They think that they're not getting paid enough to work so hard. But I'm guessing that people like your friend end up working better. And we do have some evidence that that is indeed the case.
I wonder if he's grumpy the other 9 months of the year. you just brought up an interesting point here, which is that we don't actually work only the hours when we're being paid to work. Most American workers, particularly white-collar workers in America, you have to be accessible to your job even in the hours you may not be at the office. You go home in the evening, you still got to use your phone to check email. You got to reply to this client or that patient or whoever it may be. Most people aren't actually working a five-day, 40-hour week. They may be even having to check things and do things on their weekends. So there may not be we may need a new definition of the work week to begin with.
I think that's absolutely right. And we have these statistics that are at odds. You have, on the one hand, things that say, well, we have regulations that say your week has to be 40 hours. And on the other hand, you have people who, okay, well, maybe legally you're getting paid for 40 hours a week, and yet you are constantly expected to be connected. There's this incredible work ethic, and I don't even know if we can call it work ethic anymore. I think it's become work pathology that we've been embracing and exporting elsewhere. Now you see this happening in Europe. You see this happening in Spain, in countries where it's never happened before. I mean, Spain no longer has its siesta, which used to be kind of a hallmark of their workday in the summer months. And I think that this comes from, you know, the way that our mentality has always been set up. So de Tocqueville in Democracy in America noticed this when he was traveling long before the advent of the cell phone or anything that we would consider kind of the modern work office. And what he wrote was that we can never be happy. We seem to attain more and more material well-being, and that is still the case. Our quality of life is still rising, and yet somehow we never rest and enjoy it. Instead, we say, let's work some more.
Yeah, that doesn't help when we have, you know, the advent of the internet, social media. Maria, you know, I could actually see the four-day work week.
Now, you have to understand that Kelly works 5 days a week on this show and also is on Channel 5 News on Saturday and Sunday. She would like to cut back to a six-day week from her current seven-day week.
Yes, I do work 7 days a week. However, I work short hours.
Yes.
Which, you know, I only work at the most 5 hours
at one
time.
Let's be honest, it's radio and TV.
But I was wondering...
You don't walk out of here with a bad back.
Exactly, that is true. But what about those people who would work the 3 or 4 day work week? Mm-hmm. You know, you're cramming in a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those hours, like working moms, where they have to maybe pick up their child early and run other errands that they may have to do that aren't related to work. So mm-hmm. how would mm-hmm. that actually work?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I think we need to caveat this by saying 3 day week in quotation marks. What we mean by 3 day week is allowing employees to take control of their schedule so that they're not expected to be in the office 5 days a week for certain hours as long as they have the relevant output. So if we basically turn the formula around and we say, okay, we're not going to measure you based on FaceTime, you know, based on how committed you seem, we are actually going to make it completely performance determined. So these are the things you have to hit for this week.
Yep.
If you can do it in 1 day, amazing. You have a 1 day week. If you can hit it in 2, that's great. But we don't need to know when exactly you're working. And I think we're finally getting technology to enable this to happen. I mean, more and more people are able to virtually commute and to work kind of from their home office multiple days a week. I think that we are moving in a direction where this isn't going to be just a pipe dream.
Yeah, but you know what the other side of that is, Maria. And I know people who have cubicle jobs where they're basically killing half of the day because they mm-hmm. get all their work done by noon. And then
yep.
they're pretending to work for the rest right. of
yep.
the day, sitting yep. at their computer doing who knows what to kill a few more hours. And I know that if they went to their bosses and said, look, I don't need to be here full days every day, or I could work and get everything done in 2.5 or 3 days a week, their boss would say, well, then why am I paying you for a 5 day week?
Yeah, we have so much slack built into the system. So here, it's really interesting to look at a historical example, I think. Henry Ford, who we don't exactly think of when we think of, you know, soft-hearted worker policies.
Yeah.
You know, this, and someone who's really into the welfare of the people who work for him. And yet, he was one of the first people to reduce the work week from 6 days, which used to be standard, to 5 days a week. And what he did was actually test this out. I mean, he wasn't going to give anything out for free. So in 1926, he did this experiment where he had workers work 5 days, then he changed it back to 6, then he changed it to 5, and he noticed that when they worked 5 days, they became more productive because they were better rested, and basically they became more efficient. They weren't slacking quite as much, and he foresaw that 5 days wasn't going to be the end. He said that this 5-day, 8-hour workday wasn't going to be the standard. He would have liked to see it go down even further because he thought that the increased efficiency coupled with technological advance would make it possible to have more productive workers.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a really kind of interesting case study where we have someone who, you know, invented basically, not single-handedly, but who invented the large-scale assembly line.
Yep.
Which is basically saying, you know, workers are cogs and we don't care about the workers. And yet he did care. He cared about their productivity.
Yeah. Do you think workers would be worried not just about the paycheck concerns that I mentioned earlier, but
yep.
also the somebody else in my office is going to take over my job if I don't look like I'm doing it all the time?
Absolutely. And that's why we have to change the mentality. This cannot happen in a vacuum. It has to come from the top. Because while, you know, we can say whatever we want, but we are a culture that fundamentally values FaceTime. There is no way around this. I have never been in an office environment where people weren't looking at when you come in and when you leave.
Yep.
Now, this is not correct. I think psychologically, this is the wrong way to measure productivity. I think anyone can tell you that this is the wrong way
yeah.
to measure productivity, even not psychologically, but just from anecdotal experience. But this is the way that we've operated for a very long time. It's going to take a lot to change that.
Yeah.
And we need to have certain things in place, certain guarantees in place that will make it that will make workers able to embrace this without thinking they're going to be fired.
Absolutely right. Maria Konnikova is a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Her piece is online now. It's just entitled, Why Not a Three-Day Week? Maria, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.